listening to Eureka on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Entrepreneurs. Henry Hales knew very little about textiles, design, or retail when he decided to try his hand at making men's underwear. He had some sample boxer shorts made, packaged them up, and started selling them at London's Spitalfield Market at weekends. And the unique part about Henry's project called Surplus was that all the pieces were made from surplus fabric, offcuts from the factories he approached. That was 2010, and today his Surplus brand has three London shops, a growing online business, and has grown to become a head-to-toe menswear label as well, making everything from blazers and waistcoats to socks and pajamas. Here's Henry now to walk us through the success of Surplus and the importance of sustainability to his brand.
So originally I wanted to start a men's boxer short business because I thought there was a big opportunity. I saw all the women's lingerie brands and then saw that in the jersey boxer short, which is the t-shirt like boxers, you had Calvin Klein and then loads of other big brands, but in the wovens there wasn't anyone that did really nice prints on boxer shorts. So that was the original idea, but what I learned is that you had to buy a lot to get good volume and good profitability, and it was also a case of engraving screens, and the whole thing was a big challenge. But I realised that when I was going to these factories, they were saying, well, why don't you just make a sample using some material that we have left over from a previous order? I realised that across London and Italy and wherever there's manufacturers, there's a cutting table full of surplus cloth. And I thought, well, this is more sustainable, it'll enable me to start small and grow from there, and it has a better story. So I had them made up, went and picked them, packaged them myself, bought a tablecloth and a trestle table and turned up at Spitalfield Market and stood there and started selling them. And learnt a lot those first few days, learnt that Friday isn't a good day, Saturday is a good day, Sunday is actually best at Spitalfield. And then really it's just, initially it was just about, you know, the enthusiasm that I had for the product. And then we started to grow the product range and had repeat customers, and it grew from there really. Originally doing the market meant that I was surrounded by a lot of other small brands and makers. You know, you'd get to know people and say, look, you're making, you know, dresses, would you mind telling me where your factory is? And people are happy to help each other out on the market, I find. And then when you get a good network of suppliers, I think it's just about any relationship, you know, trust and paying them on time, and, you know, they give a bit, I give a bit, and you kind of grow with them. Originally it started with the boxer shorts, and then we got quite a bit of press early on, and I started to get contacted by other factories saying, look, we've got some bolts of wool, or we've got some silk from Thai fabric, and building up this network of suppliers. And then there are also jobbers whose responsibility it is to go to the factories, and they buy the fabric and they try and resell it. And then you've also got the mills who might print too much or weave too much and contact you and say, look, I've got an extra bolt, would you be interested? So there's a few different places it can come from. And from the boxer shorts, we evolved into other accessories. And it was really when we started making the outerwear. So the kind of Mandarin collar jackets, the workman's jackets and the Nehru jackets, and also the waistcoats, that we really started to grow as a brand. Because although the boxer shorts are very key to what we do, the price point's relatively low, and we do better from the bigger ticket items. Originally, it was all using surplus, and then as we grew, we tried to keep it, you know, 100%, then we went down to 80%, and every kind of 6 months, I would, you know, go around and say, look, now we're only making 50% from surplus. What do you guys think? Mostly people said, look, you've built a great brand, you're staying true to your roots, you're trying to keep as much as you can as surplus, and actually, you know, be a bit easier on yourself. So now we make 30% using surplus. We still use the same factories we started with. We experiment with recycled yarn. We use organic cottons. We do everything we can. But I think I came to the realization that restricting us to only make using surplus would mean that we wouldn't be able to scale the business. We make 30% of our clothing using surplus still, or we use recycled yarns where possible. We've done our very best to eliminate plastics, and we use recycled plastics in some products. So it's really, really, really important. And I think the industry is very close to completely changing. I hope there's a lot more awareness surrounding it, a lot more people asking for it. So a brand like Surplus is quite fortunate that it's kind of part of our DNA. the most sustainable thing would be to carry on wearing the clothes that we have and not buy new clothes. So I have a bit of a challenge with saying we're a sustainable brand. So although we are, you know, we try in every way possible to be sustainable, I think you've got to be careful by kind of greenwashing things. And so it's not something that we are constantly kind of shouting about, because, and perhaps we should do more, but it comes down to doing the best that you can, staying true to the suppliers that you make, you know, using good fabrics, creating items that last for a long time, and really being true to the original principles. But we're a clothing brand that manufactures garments and sells them to people. So you have to be careful about saying we're the most sustainable thing out there, when, you know, the more sustainable thing would be to kind of encourage people to wear what they have. I think it definitely comes from the consumer, and we're starting to see a lot of people get behind this, a lot of influencers and a lot of campaigners. And I think the government has to play a part as well. So some form of tax on kind of clothing usage and incentivization for brands to be more sustainable is very important. But the consumers are wanting it. Now the brands are aware of it, and it's up to the supply chain to try and kind of catch up. So we're putting, you know, we're doing all we can to work with suppliers that use more sustainable methods. And I think it's a kind of a shift that's happening within the industry. So I think it was a long time on my own, probably a couple of years. And in that space, it was mostly me designing, having made up and selling on markets. And the markets were directing people onto our website. So we weren't doing much in paid social or that sort of, you know, digital marketing. A little bit of PR, but it was mostly physical, you know, word of mouth. And then maybe 3 years in, we started to gain a bit of traction. We entered the kind of outerwear market and took on an e-com person, and the buyer had an assistant, and we had kind of teams of freelancers and things. And it's really grown organically, kind of 30%, 40% a year. And then the last year we grew 47%, which is really strong. And as we've grown and become more of a, you know, a proper outfit, and it's no longer just word of mouth and marketing, there are kind of key metrics which we can focus in on and put a bit of money behind. And now we're international. We did a lot of e-com sales, mostly to America and Spain, funny enough. We've got two permanent shops, one on Portobello Road, one in Islington, and we've got a third pop-up shop in central London. And yeah, the brand seems to be very well recognized and well known for the kind of core items that we make, the Nehru jackets, the gilets, the waistcoats and the bomber jackets. So, you know, as we grow, our customer base grows with us. Yeah, it's really exciting. Firstly, the one on Portobello is next to where we had the stall. So we've got such a great awareness in the area, and we've been on the street for so long that it was really a no-brainer when that shop came open to snap it up. And we work from the basement, and it's a great, great setup. Then the one in Islington ticked all the right boxes, because it's on a street that has a market. It's the sort of place you go and browse, and it's relatively, you know, affordable rent, and it's a little bit out of kind of central London, so the rates aren't too high, and it ticks the same boxes that the Portobello store does. And then we're seeing the Prince's Arcade one in central London work really well. If we'd have tried to open it 5 years ago, it really wouldn't have done, because we didn't have the awareness. But now that people know who we are and see the sign and, oh, wow, you've opened a shop up here, we've got a bit more presence. So our shops actually do make money, which is hard in these days. But I think it's a case of having a small enough unit to keep the rent and the rates low, but be able to fit the products in a nice way and, you know, manage the fit out and the overheads, essentially. Mm. So the shops can do really well if they're the right agreement at the right time. We've got a really exciting future. We're out raising our first round now. So far, it's just been through organic growth. But to scale the business, we're going to try and take on some money and invest that into product development and everything that we're doing, but a bit more on a bigger scale to try and attract new customers and get known internationally. So that's a really exciting time. And I see us with two more central London shops. That would be the kind of ideal situation. So we'll try another few pop-ups, and if they work as well as our current stores do, we'll look at going permanent.
Thanks very much to Henry Hales, founder of Surplus, for sharing his story. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.